comes in twice this year, finishes it. I'm back to my manager, and then we'll be chairing the meeting. My left half councillor, Rob Cook, and my right half councillor, Grace Sutherland. Can I ask, first of all, that you switch your mobile phones off? I'll put them on silence, please. Thank you very much, Mark. I think, first of all, if we go around the table and introduce ourselves. Can I start with you then, Andrew, please?
Yes, certainly. I'm Andrew Bailey. I'm going to be clerking the meeting this morning, taking the notes.
My name's Mark Atwood. I'm a resident of Bedcroft, and I'm going to be impacted by the application.
Katie McKinney, senior licensing officer here at the Borough Council.
I'm Rebecca Hartley. I work as the events director at our listing partnership with the Clarendon Council.
My name's Cameron Dick. I'm one of the owners of Arsenal Hall.
I'm Claire Gilchrist-Dick. I'm one of the owners of Arsenal
Hall. I'm Robinson for the wine company.
My name is Simon Turner, I'm the Legal Services Manager. I'm just advising the committee this morning on matters of procedure.
Thank you very much for that. Right, moving forward, Casey, can we ask you to present the application, please?
Yes, of course. Good morning, everybody. The purpose of the report today is to consider an application for a premises licence for Barlaston Hall, Queen Mary's Drive, Barlaston, Staffordshire, Sierra Tango 129, Athlet Tango. On the 7th of December 2022, the Council received an application for a premises licence for Barlaston Hall, Queen Mary's Drive, Barlaston, ST12980, with a consultation period commencing on the 8th of December 2022. A previous premises licence application was submitted on the 4th of November 2022, however, the licensing team had to restart this consultation process in agreement with the applicants due to insufficient advertising and premises. The proposed premises licence holder of Barlaston Hall is St John's Bespoke Events Limited, based at Barlaston Hall. There have been no representations from any of the responsible authorities during the consultation period of this premises licence application, which ended on the 4th of January this year. The licensing team have received random representations from six members of the public who live in the vicinity of the premises and are all concerned with the potential for noise nuisance that the premises licence could bring. The representations relate to the licensing objective for the profession of public nuisance. Documents relating to the application for the premises licence, and the email representations from members of the general public are attached to the appendix. The recommendation today is that the licensing subcommittee considers the application for a premises licence and considers whether this should be granted on the basis of the submission or with conditions.
Thank you very much for that, Casey.
Chairman, I'm sorry, can I just mention something? I notice not everyone's got their agendas in front of them. That's the document we'll be referring to. And, you know, more importantly, you'll want to refer the members to if you want to make a particular point.
Thank you, Simon.
Mr. Atwood, has he got this? Yeah.
So,
the most useful bit, initially, at least for this agenda, is on the very back page. You've got the order for the meeting. So I suggest you do what I do, is I take the back page off and then I use it as a little checklist so I know who's going to speak next. And then we do follow that order quite strictly so that we don't forget who's had a go and who hasn't.
Thank you very much for that, Simon. Thank you. So moving forward, right. Mr. Atwood, you're an objector. Would you like to put your case forward, please?
Yeah, I'd like to begin by saying, you said there's six objections. I've looked at the objections, and with the process having to be kick-started, it would appear that some of the objections haven't been included in the final submission. So I don't quite know how that's happened, but I know that's the certain for one of the applicants. So... But regardless of that, I thought I'd come along today. Most people would come along, you know, the neighbourhood and the people that are impacted, they just generally, the sort of people who wouldn't come along and speak, it would terrify them having to do so. You know, they're just people getting about their normal lives. The profile of the people there, you know, they generally of more senior in years. And so I thought it was important that you actually got the human side of this. We are going to be massively impacted by what's proposed. There's no doubt about that. No amount of mitigation would basically have the potential to have a party over, you know, over the road from us, virtually, well, as I would see, without limit. No amount of noise mitigation will reduce the impact that that's going to have on our lives. You know, we, at the moment, we're fortunate. There's very, very little background noise in the area that we live, which is, you know, backs onto the hall. For example, you know, in the summer, you sleep with the windows open at night, and, you know, you can hear the sheep in the fields, you can hear an owl hooting. You know, we occasionally get disruption. It's like anything, you put up with things for a certain amount of time during, you know, during the year. For example, at the cricket club, which is at the bottom of our road, they'll have a bonfire and once a year, and it's absolute pandemonium. Cars abandoned all over the place, disruption. It doesn't go on too late. But it's one of those things, it's an occasional thing, you put up with anything, you know, if it's once or twice. This potentially has the impact to cause us a significant amount of grief pretty much every day of the year. You know, I get up early with my job, I'm out of the house generally 6:30 in the morning. There's a party going on over the road from us. If that's happening every day of the week, that's going to have a massive impact. And I'm talking from a personal point of view here, but I do know that there are lots of residents who are basically too timid to be here today, and they feel exactly the same. So that is the major concern. There's pretty much zero, you know, background sound. So any sound we will hear full on. We'll be hearing a party full on. Could be, you know, 300 days a year. I don't know. It's obviously a money making operation. It's not been done for any other reason. It's not been done to benefit the residents of Barlaston. So that's one aspect of it. The other aspect is just the mayhem there will be with trying to fit in cars. There's obviously no public transport worth speaking of to serve this place, so it's in exactly the wrong place for people to call public transport. There's only one logical outcome, which will mean cars will be just abandoned, fly parked. As I've said to you, when we have the occasional events at the cricket club, we'll get cars abandoned, just you can't get up the road, and that's one night. This is going to be our lives now, pretty much moving forward. So that's that. You've also got the historic aspect of, you know, Queen Anne's Avenue, beautiful avenue. That'll be gone now because during the day when there's weddings or events, there'll just be cars parked on there. It'll churn up all the grass sidings. It's unlit, so there's obviously a safety issue. You know, I would say at the moment, you know, there's a reasonable amount of traffic going up an unlit 20-mile-an-hour road, and that's just going to get hellishly worse. There will be an accident. That's an absolute certainty. I would add as well, and you know, you may not say it's relevant, but there isn't a planning permission in place to use this as an event, and whether this is just one step along as an event centre, and whether this is one step along the road from that, I don't know. Noise being the particular issue, I'm unclear as to whether there is a desire for marquees with music to be played inside, which is, it might be classified as inside, but that's fundamentally outside. So all in all, this is just something that has the potential to pretty seriously damage our way of life if it's granted. We think it's unnecessary. There's another events centre at the upper house, which, you know, does a village the size of Barlaston need two wedding event centres? I pretty much doubt it. And I just don't see any benefit at all. As I say, I felt it was important for me to come along just to convey the human side of it. There will be plenty of people who are thinking the same in the village, but the nature of those people is such that they won't turn up today.
Thank you.
should Mrs. Gilchrist Dick, sorry. Is one of you going to speak, or do you all want to question Ms. Stratton?
Primarily Cameron's going to speak.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank
I mean,
you.
I don't know, obviously, having never attended one of these before, I don't know at which point you know, this gentleman has obviously a viewpoint, he's obviously completely entitled to it. I could obviously sit here and say 50% of the community wish to say it's in favour of it.
You'd probably say that at 0.5 on the list.
Right, okay. But
yeah.
You know, there are only six objections that we're being made aware of, you know, that we sort of said. So I think I'd rather, I don't feel the necessity to you know, cross examine this gentleman. I'm not a barrister by trade or anything else. And I'll go over probably most of the points that he's mentioned during my submission.
You will?
Yeah, I think it's probably.
Right, okay.
Unless you'd like to see me cross examine.
I just wondered
whether you could answer the queries that Mr. Arthur had brought forward.
I know, but I've raised those in my submission, that's why I was going to say.
That's perfectly proper, and that's quite often what people say. Is
yeah.
Any of you want to ask him a question
yeah,
about
so
what
if I wanted to ask a specific question about him, what he wants to say,
so you're quite happy with that new response to
the Chair, before we go any
yes.
further, there is one thing that Mr. Atwood mentioned about the planning permission.
Yes.
Of course, this committee doesn't deal with planning permissions at all. We have the planning committee or all the other delegated powers of the council to consider that. So I'm afraid that isn't something we look at at all today. But Mr. Atwood said is today's application a stage on the way to getting overall permission. Indeed it is, and this is quite often what happens. You either have to apply for planning permission first or licensing act permission. So it sometimes come in this order, sometimes the other order, but yet you a place to operate beyond their current planning approval, they need to clarify their planning permission certainly before they could commence.
Thank you for explaining that, Simon. Much appreciated. Right, I'll move on to the committee now. Councillor Sutherland, is there any questions that you'd like to
ask? Just one, really, and that is even though there's been no representation from any of the partnerships, the main two that I'm thinking of is Highways and Police, are we aware of any problems in the past with parking, or in fact with police, complaints to the police, complaints to the Environment Agency, etc.
Is this an open question?
It can be to you.
Well, I think I said it.
Aware of any?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as I say, the rare occasions that the cricket club hold events, there is fly parking throughout the village, and those events don't go until late at night. And you've literally struggled to get, you know, to drive around in Bolmeston, but it's a very, you know, it's an infrequent occurrence, but it's an example of what we'd be lined up for if this, because there is no parking, full stop, you know, there is no parking. So there would be fly parking of, I don't know, how many vehicles? 70 vehicles, 100 vehicles, however, in a little village where there's no facility to park. And the only logical conclusion is you would park as near as you can to the hall, which is along an historic unlit avenue. You'd be churning up the mud in the winter. It'd look an absolute eyesore, and it would just be pandemonium. So absolutely there would be a problem, yeah, and I'm aware of it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Councillor Cook, is there anything
to do? Thanks very much indeed, Chair. Could I ask how far away your house is?
I would describe it as probably a driver or a three wood away. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with golf, but that would say, I would say, as the crow flies, probably 400 yards, 500 yards, which is a good drive.
Thank you.
And I would say to you, you know, if you're trying to get some perspective on this, you know, a little bit of this is wind direction, but the far side from us of the hall is the railway line. And on a still evening, and again I said to you and I would stress, there's absolutely, virtually no background noise, so you hear everything. On a quiet night, you can hear the railway line, which is probably another half a mile the other side. So you multiply that by somebody, you know, a band with live music blaring away until God knows when, and then, I don't know, 100 people, however many people, all having had a few beers, staggering around, girls shrieking, blokes shouting. You'd be signing us up for that for every night of the week, potentially. Those kids got to get up to go. These kids be asleep. There'll be people like me who've got to get up to work. As I say, there's quite an elderly profile as well. They don't need that grief in their life every night of the week at all. It's to no benefit whatsoever.
Thank you.
I have no questions, because I think the two councillors covered it about the noise that they asked you about. So moving on, Mr. Gilchrist, Dick, would you like to put your own application forward?
Yeah, so I'll sort of give a little bit of background. We moved actually into the hall just a tad over 3 years ago now. At that point in time, the church that's next door to us, we took ownership of that at the same time. It was relatively dilapidated, hasn't been used for anything else other than church for 900 years. The previous residents have used it for storage. One of the things that we decided to do was to see if we could bring this back into use again. And we started working, obviously, with Staffordshire about how to restore the church back into its former use. One of the comments was made, obviously it's been made by planning permission. As far as Staffordshire Council is concerned, the planning permission has never lapsed from it being the church. Although this, the objection has been raised with Staffordshire, and as a result, they now, we are having to undergo what's called a certificate of lawfulness, just to basically prove that for 900 years it's been a church used for weddings and such functions and bits and pieces. But this was something that we kind of developed as we were bringing the church back into use, of what kind of element we want to use it for what kind of thing we want to do with it. I've laughed with some of the objections when people have said we're doing this for completely commercial perspectives. If we were, then we wouldn't have done it. We will, you know, quite happy to show a business projection that we're probably not going to make any money, certainly for the next 3 to 5 years. And the reality is, it'll probably ultimately only ever cover its costs. Obviously, we've seen a number of the points that's made about it being an event centre. We are the closest residents to this because we live upstairs. I have three children, so if we were planning on having a party every night, then I think we'd be probably the ones worse affected than anything else. Marquees are not being considered in this application, so that's irrelevant. As far as we're concerned, we're only looking to be able to host weddings, small parties, small functions that will be hosted in the church and in the hall itself. We took a lot of consideration over the whole noise elements. I'm assuming that you have seen the report that we had commissioned about noise?
No, because the noise team have agreed a condition with you, haven't they, which is part of your application, so
right.
It's not in the report because
okay.
The noise team aren't here to say.
Oh, okay, right, fair enough. So there's a 50-page professional report that was done. They came and looked at the overall noise levels in the area, obviously related to, you know, there are obviously events at the Wedgwood Cricket Ground, which is obviously just below where the house is, the trains, the motorway that sits slightly far back, and then obviously the background noise related to that. Then they also have agreed with, obviously, the team from Stafford about what mitigation systems could be put in place, and there is a mitigation plan that's there. So there's no outdoor music with part of this agreement in this application at all. It's and this is predominantly for small social functions. The actual maximum size we've got is 100 to 120 people. Now, the car element, again, I obviously doesn't appear in the application. We have a already agreement with a local company for off-site parking, and we have a plan with them already using their off-site parking. Anyone that comes to actually look around at a potential wedding is told exactly where the parking will be, and that they will either have to choose whether to be dropped off for the venue. We obviously, there is an allowance within the noise report for certain amounts of disabled parking and disabled access that will be needed. And obviously within that noise report, there is a mentioning about obviously traders and people that are dropping off any items and bits and pieces. But the bulk of the parking is actually off-site. It's nowhere near Queen Mary's Drive at all. The relevant bonfire night party, last time I checked, hosts about 2,000 people, which is why you do get obviously a considerable number of cars up Queen Mary Drive, and they're abandoned everywhere. Our maximum capacity is 120. So I think the comparisons may be perhaps seen of slightly different levels of parking and what have you. But as I say, the parking for us concerned is off-site. We've obviously sat down and with the police force, we've gone over all the remits and requirements for them. The reality is, the simple element is this is our home. We live there, so we're not, you know, I don't know who came up with the event centre. What we are trying to do is restore a church, and what we are trying to do is introduce that as a community element for people. My wife is already working with a couple of local charities to that aid, so and there's a couple of charitable events that are planned in it for later this year now that this is, it's now usable, as we can heat it and use it. So is it a commercial venture? Yes. Is it a commercial venture to make profit? No, sadly not. Is it about bringing back historic buildings into use? Yes. Barnston Hall is a Grade 1 listed building and probably one of the most important buildings in the north of England at the moment. And we are getting people to enjoy and use that in a nice, hopefully safe way. This is weddings. This isn't, maybe the odd birthday party, but this isn't concerts. This isn't larger scale events. This isn't something 365 days a year. I would imagine at most venues like this, from my little understanding or my knowledge of it, you probably get 40 or 50 a year. But we hope that we have really kind of boxed off most of the concerns. We did hold two open days last year for the community. One, actually, when we finished most of the renovations to the church, and then a second one we actually did on Christmas Eve as well, to try and bring people in, to try and get people to understand what the plans were and everything else. So we also have been trying to engage with people quite readily. And I think that's about it, realistically.
I think, just kind of coming to add, obviously there's a very human side for you, and I think, we all understand that, and we're approaching it from a very human perspective as well. As Cam said, this is Claire and Cam's family home. They have no desire to have parties 365 days of the year, and actually we've had a lot of conversations about the types of events that we want there, because we want people to be respectful to the community but also respectful to the church and home. And I think another thing that, from a kind of human side, that maybe you may not understand, I'm sure our neighbour does, is that Barlaston, I mean, Claire and I have done show rounds to people, and Barlaston holds a really special place in people's hearts. A lot of people have had grandparents who've married there, they've been christened there, and we've got a lot of that kind of repeat interest from people who want to have their baby naming ceremony or wedding there. So I think, yeah, there's a very human connection on both sides, I think.
Thank you very much for that. Thank you. Mr. Robinson, you don't say anything.
Just a moment, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Atwood, would you like to put any questions to the applicant?
Yeah, I've got a couple.
Okay.
You're categorically saying there's no outdoor marquee?
No, it's not in this application.
So it's not a categorical. No,
that's
recorded
in
this. That's recorded in this.
Not in this application.
Thank you.
I was looking at the same matter, but if page 27, there's a third item which is a measure that's volunteered by the applicant for the prevention of primary disorder, and item 3 says licensable activity shall only be permitted within the part of Barlaston Hall as delineated on the plan attached to the license.
Yeah.
So logically to me that means you can't have a disco or anything unless it's within the delineated plan.
Right.
So
the markings are not included in the delineated plans then.
I think that's the point I'm trying to make.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
There's a limitation within the volunteered conditions.
I'm asking a question, and that's come back.
I thought it would short circuit it if I pointed out this appears to be a document
that's
deals with that.
Absolutely fine.
It's not my document, but.
There's obviously part of, and again, perhaps my ignorance, part of the application is for outdoor dance. Now, can somebody perhaps explain to me what outdoor dance is if it doesn't involve music or noise?
Perhaps I don't know what outdoor dance includes, I think it's.
So, is outdoor dance accompanied by music? I think you make it clear, or I'm clear in my own mind now that your application doesn't involve a marquee, which could be determined as indoor. Outdoor dance, I presume we've got people who understand the terminology. I don't know if you, ladies and gentlemen, do, but I don't understand what's meant by outdoor dance.
I mean, it's unusual, Chairman, in that there's a limitation on live music on page 9, and there's a limitation on recorded music on page 11. In that they're both limited to being indoors, but then for dance, it says that the dance would be outdoors, but that would mean it couldn't have licensable activities including recorded music or live music outdoors. Other
I'm just
than
trying
that.
To understand that's
yeah,
that's why.
So there's also the live music exemption under the Licensing Act, which means you don't need a premises license to allow a performance of live music before 11 o'clock at night. So that's not regulated under the Licensing Act. So dancing would appear to be dancing, but within the terms of the Licensing Act, there could be music. Theoretically.
So potentially there's just a free for all for music until 11.
Sorry, I'm just advising on how the law works, but
yeah.
Probably if you ask the applicant to clarify.
And you mentioned about noise mitigation. Obviously I'm not privy to that. I can imagine the type of things you would pay the noise consultant or acoustic consultant to come up with some strategy. That will be balanced by being an historic building. Are you able to outline to me what the measures, the noise mitigating measures recommended are? Because I haven't seen any.
So it's a what they call noise control systems, so they have a maximum volume level that are allowed related to the structure.
And what's that decibel noise? What is that impact noise?
Off the top of my head, I wouldn't know. But it was agreed with us and obviously the council, the noise officer, and they've agreed that level, as it were.
So there's nothing that you're doing to the hall that
it's grade one listed. There is a possibility of noise reduction measures which would sort of be like dual glazing and things like that. The hall
So you have to use noise limiting equipment.
And there is a noise management plan that's in place with the council.
I'm entirely familiar with that type of thing through. So
I would also point out that the church walls are about 2.5 foot thick and the house walls.
Yeah, I mean,
are about
the church, not an issue. I mean, we're talking two separate things here. The church, no problem whatsoever. From a residential point of view, that has pretty minimal impact. Mm-hmm. It's a church, perhaps it's always been a church. And you're saying this won't be a party venue, you live there. I don't know, you might not move out at weekends and go, you might have a holiday home somewhere. That you disappear and you leave people to get on with it. You know, it was my daughter's wedding last year, and we went out with a lovely, country hotel absolutely in the middle of nowhere, no villages around it whatsoever, and it was a great party. And that's what weddings are. They're great parties, and parties are fantastic when you're in them, but they ain't so fantastic when you're trying to get to sleep at night and you've got to get up in the morning and you can't endure the peace and quiet that you always enjoy. So I'm all for parties, but not when they're impacting on the residents.
Can I just, so you said that you're not so worried about the church. So the church is, well, we're getting the figure of 120 from. The hall itself is half that amount. And also that has greater impact on us as a family. So
you're living through a wedding party. So
which is,
I'm just trying to picture
we
now.
We don't want to be having many events in the hall at all.
But this for me, it's a genie out of the bottle. You know, you can say these lovely words here, but the reality is, what's in the application here, once it's done for good. So all the nice words that you say, that you could go out of here and say, well, there you go, we've got it now, it's in the back pocket. Game on, we can have 300 events this year. There's no restriction on this. You can say what you like.
There isn't a restriction. However, I'm sure gentlemen down here, legally wise, this licence can be rescinded if we break it.
Yeah, we've got to go through a whole lot of pain to get to that point. The same as I don't want to be there getting, the music booming out, and there will be breaches of it. Absolutely. There will absolutely be breaches of it. Somebody will have to come along. There'll have to be a complaint. You'll have to go through, and it's grief and anger.
Thing we want to do is upset neighbours.
Well,
we have an excellent relationship with all our neighbours.
I've never spoken to you. You say you've made representations. I've had no representations.
Have you? We've held the church open for 2 open days. You were more than welcome to
come. Oh, I wouldn't know it's open. I'm walking past. I wouldn't know it's open.
Because
you say open day outside.
I've invited people on the Facebook group for Barnes
and
Community Facebook.
Well, listen to you. That's all well and good. When you're of a certain age, Facebook doesn't mean a lot to you.
A couple of members of your cul-de-sac came on that day, Martin and his wife, which I want, a lovely couple. They asked me all the questions that you're asking me today, or raising today.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I answered them all, and I hoped that, Gareth, our councillor here, knocked on my door because he had all these questions. I welcomed him in, and we had a cup of tea, didn't we, Gareth? And we answered all these questions.
Oh, that's lovely.
We're very happy. We have an excellent relationship with our neighbours, and we pride ourselves on that. We haven't fallen out with anybody. And the last thing we want to do is fall out with you. We would like to welcome you to any of the open events that we have. We'd like you to see it as a community asset to the village. That's what we're trying to do.
I don't see it as being anything. I'll call it an event centre, you call it whatever you like. If there's a need to rescue a building or give the building a new life, I can understand. understand that in the case of the church. I've got no problem with that. But in the hall, that's what people are coming to have their wedding. And I know what a wedding party's like. We did one last year. Great fun, absolutely great fun. But, as I say, I was taking part in it, not being on the receiving end of it. You know, you know what it's like. At the end of a night in a party, there's cars revving, horns tooting, people, girls screaming, blokes shouting, and that's what we sign up for. And you're categorically saying to me that you're living upstairs whilst wedding parties, 18th birthday parties, whatever, concerts are going on.
Concerts.
Application says one thing and you're saying another. And once that application's gone through, the genie is out the bottle and we're done.
Marketing materials as well. Our maximum number of people is 14 people and then 60 people for dining. We make it really clear on all of our brochures and marketing materials that we Clem and Cam don't want parties in their house, not least for the noise disturbance, but also because,
damage,
again, I think it would be really lovely for you to come and look at the hall. It's beautifully decorated. There's absolutely no way that we would have a party in that, and that's why the church is the building that we would be using for weddings of that ilk. And we make it very clear that actually if you want to have a party till 11 p.m, you have to then go to the church. You can have your meal.
But what, you've got an application that allows you to do that 364 days a year, whatever it might be. You can do that till 11 o'clock every night of the year. And no matter what you said, you know, people have short memories. You might have a change of thought. You might sell this on. I don't know what's going to happen. But I know that once this is granted, that's it. We're done.
The reality is, we can't argue against what if. Because there's a lot of what ifs in this world. We can only present the information and obviously the evidence
what
that
our hopes are, what our plans are, is exactly what
we're saying. And your parking. The reality is, it's raining, it's a cold night, people aren't going to be fussed about, they'll just abandon the car. It's not against the law to abandon the car, they'll just abandon the car. That's the reality, that's the human side of what's going to happen. People won't go park somewhere and then wait for a lift or hill. They'll park as near as they can possibly get.
That's part of the agreement we'd have with the guests, with the person that booked the event.
They'll just ignore you, they'll laugh at you. Ladies tottering along in heels, it won't happen. It will not happen. Don't matter what nice words you come up with, it won't happen.
Have you finished with your questioning, Mr. Atwood?
I could probably go on, but no, that wasn't, thank you.
Pardon?
No, that's fine, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Well, I think, all right, from my point of view, I think you clarified about the marquee situation. That was one thing. And the parking. How far is this parking that you've organised away from the venue? How far is it away from the venue?
You can walk it in about 12 minutes, because I've done it, but you can drive it in about 3. Mm-hmm. And we have an agreement with the company that owns the car park to be able to use. And then we have an agreement that with when guests book, they are told disabled, but you know, or access only to the house and to the church. And beyond that, if they want to park on site, unfortunately that is the limitation of it. There is a lay-by on the opposite side from the house that can hold 3 or 4 cars, but we are not offering that to anybody. We're basically saying you need to park on site.
And our plan is to minibus people from this location, a shuttle service.
And I think you've answered my other question, really, which is about public consultation.
Mm.
You've done quite a bit of public consultation. What sort of feedback have you had from that?
Excellent.
Extreme positive.
Excellent.
Even from Stafford Council themselves. So.
Yeah, okay. Right, I'm going to ask the field of councillor that. Councillor Cook, would you like to?
Thanks very much indeed, sir. Is it possible to let me know what sort of parking, what quantity of parking is actually available in Barlaston Hall itself?
50 cars.
So you could have 50 cars parked in there?
Within our grounds.
Within our grounds.
And would that be your intention?
No.
Oh,
we did the noise report for 50 cars because we were aware that there was possibly going to be did we look at how to mitigate more delivery drivers and things like that, your people setting up? Did we need to consider this? And we've considered things like emptying the bins and what have you. So part of the noise mitigation management is about, you know, empty bottles being emptied in bins and when that can be done and when that can't be done and things like that. So, but we did, part of the noise report was considered 50 cars. And we calculated that by, we actually held a dry run for my daughter's 18th birthday as a trial run to sort of see how we would do it as a party. And so we sort of calculated everything from there.
But I think that also gave clarity around what they, regardless of the regulation, what we wanted to do with parking, because there's lovely grounds, a lovely turning circle, it's all grass, and I think the conclusion we came to is that you just don't actually want cars going around the turning circle.
There is a reality also that people have a tendency, you know, if they're coming for an evening out, they're going to come have a drink. So they're probably going to go home by taxi, unless they're planning on breaking the law. And having off-site parking was actually a lot easier.
Would you have parking for disabled people?
So that's again, this is why we sort of said 50 cars, because obviously there has to be an understanding that, you know, you can't minibus necessarily a disabled person. So the church actually has a pull-into space outside the front of the two cars that we own. So we would probably, you know, if you're having a wedding for somebody that's got, you know, an elderly aunt or uncle or, you know, grandparent, then, you know, we will say to them, you can park there. Or we would say to them, you know, if they wanted to, they can park on the driveway around the house. And that's possible as well. But what we don't want to do, one of the elements we don't want to, if I'm brutally honest, what I don't want to do is wake up in the morning and have 50 cars still sat on the driveway, waiting for people to totter back, having had a few drinks the night before and going to stay at the local travel lodge and coming back. So having them off-site was always much easier and much better plan.
Mm-hmm. I'm also interested, to the Chair, in the use of the church.
Yes.
Now, I can understand that in the case of a wedding, be there for religious purposes, or the religious part.
Not
the,
to, it has to be non-religious.
It's deconsecrated.
Deconsecrated.
Oh, it's been
deconsecrated.
There's a new church in the village now that's been built.
Yeah. So this was. So sorry, and perhaps you weren't aware. So St John's Church in the early 1980s was actually thought to be falling down. Actually, was going to be knocked down at one point in time. Saved the charity that repaired Barlaston Hall. The engineer, who I've met, son of the guy who did it, he came up with an idea to save the church. The tower from the church itself dates to about 1100. The rest of the church was actually started in 1800 and was finished in 1888. There are weddings going back to 1550 that Stafford actually has the records for, that we've gone, sat down with Stafford and gone back to. But there are earlier, obviously, expected weddings, but that's just when the first paper records exist. But it was deconsecrated in 1980 when it was thought to be falling down. It was then repaired in 1986, just before it was knocked down, and it's been empty. Sorry? Before it was due to be knocked down. And then it's been empty ever since, and it's not been anything subsequently. When we bought the house with the church, it was predominantly storing old church memorabilia, including the original, or one of the original organs, the original fonts, and a large number of the original stained glass windows which were boxed up, which part and parcel of our plan going forward. We have a 5-year restoration plan with the church. Part of that is to restore some of those stained glass windows.
So therefore now, you'd be thinking about using the church for sort of celebratory.
Yes,
non-religious celebrations.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I think you mentioned that the walls are extremely thick. So
yes.
Would that, I assume that would help with some.
Yeah, the windows, we've spoken to, obviously it's great that the hall is grade 1 listed, the church is grade 2 listed. We're very friendly with Staffordshire, with the Heritage Officer for Stafford. One of the elements that we will probably be doing is when we reinstate the stained glass windows, we will probably be using secondary glazing to, without wishing to bore you too much, you need to stabilise, these windows are 200 years old, so you need to stabilise the window anyway. So we'll be using it's a plexiglass lining to sort of then, and actually it adds a sound barrier to it at the same time. But to give you an idea, one window, to install one window is £7,500. And that's with stained glass that exists. If we only have enough stained glass that remains for about four or five of the windows, the rest of the windows are probably going to cost us in excess of $250,000 to recreate stained glass to go in. So, but it is part of the 5-year plan, is to start to slowly put the original stained glass back in, but where those original stained glasses don't exist, is then to start to get recreate stained glass to go in.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Councillor Sutherland.
In fact, well, most of the questions I was going to ask have already been answered. Thank you very much. But I'm interested because you have a bonfire night.
No,
bonfire.
No, we don't.
The village has a bonfire.
Oh, the village.
Cricket Club has a bonfire.
Okay. So the village organises a bonfire.
Yeah.
The cricket club.
There's two cricket clubs where we are. One which is Wedgwood, which is beneath where the house
yep.
is, and then Barston has its own one, which is in the centre of the village on the far
okay.
side.
Now, you mentioned something like 2,000 people attendance.
Yes.
Are they local people? Or
no.
No, they come from outside.
They tend to come from
yeah.
outside. Yes. That's a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
and that's a lot of parking.
Mm-hmm.
It's chaotic, really, for that night.
Yeah.
It's chaotic. Thank you. I live in a village and I know what it's like because we were surrounded by green fields. And, it always happens. If you attract people into the village and they're coming from outside, there's a parking issue. It's good to hear that you've got parking space for 50 cars. I'm just wondering. Is it your intention to increase that number at some date?
You can't increase the size.
You can't.
The parking, you mean, or how many
parking.
People? We could. One of the backup plans that we always considered, if we couldn't have secured local parking, but the local parking, by the way, is 500 cars, so we're going to be pretty all right for parking spaces. Although I think we might get a little annoyed from the business. We said to them we'd only think it would be a maximum of 100 cars, but they do have parking for 500 vehicles. One of the backup plans we did consider is if we couldn't have got that agreement, was we could park, we own the field behind the hall. We could, if need be, park people in the field behind the house if needed.
Put the matting, you know, you put the matting down and
yeah.
the grass
yeah.
grows through.
Yeah.
So that's what we own. A sizeable amount of the land behind the hall. I have horses, so we do have an option that as a backup plan we could use that.
I think that's a good idea. And the functions you've had in the past, you mentioned your horses, birthday celebration. Did you have any complaints? Has there ever been any complaints about any function that you held
not to, my
to the environment agency?
No, not to my knowledge.
To the police?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. That's very interesting about the windows, actually.
I could go on, by the way. You might have guessed that we're quite passionate about historic buildings, which is why we bought the house in the first place.
I've got to say, Stafford's got an awful lot of history and we don't make any mistakes, but that's kind of for myself, actually. Ms. Gatwood, would you like to summarise your...
yeah, there's just a couple of...
No new issues,
yeah.
please.
No new issues. I just want to, just to make sure that everybody's got the correct understanding here. Firstly, when you're talking about your 50 car parking spaces. I can't remember the gentleman's name, but what he's ultimately saying is he doesn't want the parking in Barlaston Hall. It will take 50 cars, but he doesn't want the parking in there. So presumably those 50 cars, I take what you say about having the remote parking, but the reality is, as I've said, that won't happen. Those 50 spaces, rather than being on your land and affecting you, will be transferred into the village and will affect the likes of me. So there is no parking in Barlaston Hall. I just wanted to make sure, Councillor Sutherland, that you were clear on that, because I think you appeared to say something different. So there is no parking within Barlaston Hall. There's no potential to increase that parking. The second thing, I just wanted everybody to be clear as well, is a lot of reference is made to the church and the renovation of the church, which, fantastic, no issue with that whatsoever. But unless I've got completely the wrong end of the stick, I'd like clarifying where the music is coming from. So the indoor music, that's not going to be played inside the church. So there's no music whatsoever in the hall.
If somebody has a small dinner party within the ballroom, the dining room of the hall,
So for a wedding, if you could just talk me through a typical wedding, and we're turning up for a wedding, whereabouts are you having your disco free wedding?
So it would depend on the client, but if they wanted to have a wedding in the hall, so they'd possibly have a service in the church.
Well, I just assume the logic would be, it would seem kind of weird to have a party in the church.
No, that's the whole point.
So the church,
that's why we've done
the church has been very deliberately designed, so all the pews are removable, which means we can have a service in the church, we can then store the pews away, we can put tables in. Whilst they're doing that, what most couples have talked about is that they'd either have a group reception photographs outside if it's a nice day, or we'll take them into the hall, into the library, and they'll have a rooms reception in there. They'll come back into the church and they'll have the remainder of their event in there.
So
the only difference would be, if it was a smaller group, we'd allow them to have their wedding breakfast in the hall, but they'd then, if they wanted to continue past 7 p.m, for example, they'd then have to go back to the church to have
I have no interest in breakfast, stuff like that. My interest is noise booming out from the hall and affecting me. So you're not saying that there won't be music within the hall, because, yeah, I'd agree, there probably would be a far greater chance of noise breakout. You could do something about the church. I don't think you could do anything about the hall. If you're having a wedding disco in that hall, we're not going to know about it. Live music.
Have you been disturbed by Claire and Cam living in the hall so far?
The only aspect, and I was away at the time, but you had a party, I presume you do, what are you referring to? Was it around about Christmas time, before Christmas, or just after Christmas?
We just celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary.
And there was cars parked all up Queensland and Avenue. Now, I didn't see it personally,
absolutely nothing to do with us. All our guests stayed at the upper house, or stayed with us and parked in our... Absolutely nothing to
okay.
do with
us.
Okay,
so, there was an event at the hall that caused a load of cars to be parked.
Maybe talk about Christmas Eve when we invited the villagers, everybody in the village, to come for drinks.
That was 2 days later. So our due was on the 21st.
So, whatever, there was a function at the hall, and, a microcosm of what we're going to experience in the future is cars abandoned on Queen Anne's Avenue. So
it's Queen Mary's Drive.
So summary is, this is the genie out of the bottle. If this application is granted, it doesn't matter, the words that are said here will be forgotten. It's what's in the application. We have the potential to be disrupted by noise whenever these people choose to have an event. And also, regardless of what policies that you have in place for things like parking, people are people. They'll park the easiest place that they can get, and that will have, it's a safety issue, and it's, again, it's disruption. and that's what we're in for. If you let this go ahead, that's what you're signing us up for.
Thank you for that, Mr. Atwood. Mr. Dick, would you like to summarise your case, please?
Yeah, I think, you know, parking...
No new issues.
Sorry?
No new issues.
No new issues, really. It was just to reiterate that there is parking, 50 parking on space, so that does exist. That's, don't think that's denied by anybody. We actually have the ability, if we desperately had to, we could use some land behind us if needed to be to park vehicles, but we do have off-site parking sorted. And we can all talk about what ifs.
Anybody else want to say anything on to summarise?
My final point is that I know a lot was spoken about the bonfire, for example, but there is a notable difference between Boston. This is private events, with people coming to a private event with a start and an end time. It's not transient traffic, and they are small private events, not public events, which is a difference.
Thank you all for that, and thank you for your submissions and what have you. Can I now ask you if you could leave do the room, that's a sort of it sounds like you're at school, until we summarise it ourselves and we have a decision. Thank you.